for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 4th, 2013. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on the two paths of life.
Come on, Carla. We're glad you're all here. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful that everybody was able to come this time. And
well, good evening. Okay, well, let's start with prayer. Well, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just call on the mighty angels, warring angels, to come and do war in the heavenlies, even as we hear your word tonight, to do battle over our lives for the war that's going on for our souls, Lord, especially the souls of our children. We just thank you for each child that's here, each parent, grandparent, however they got here, Lord. We just thank you for bringing them here. We thank you for Lake Hamilton, a place where we can come and have the freedom to speak of you. Lord, we thank you for that freedom. We don't know how much longer we're going to have that freedom, but I appreciate it right now. In Jesus' name. I just bind any spirits that would hinder or block the people from hearing. I bind every religious spirit, every antichrist spirit. I bind you in the name of Jesus and forbid you to operate. And I take dominion over that fly that was just all around me. And I command him to go sit somewhere until this meeting is over. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Lord, I ask you to break up the fallow ground in our hearts. Those areas that have grown. You know, if you've ever been, if you live where I live, the ground can get kind of hard, and it can get kind of hard to break up. And you cannot do anything in that ground unless that ground is broken up. So I ask the Lord to break up the fallow ground, make it pliable and receiving of the seed that will be given tonight, that it can take root and bear fruit. Okay, most of you have heard the scripture from Jeremiah 29 that says in verse 11, God said through Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, good thoughts, a good life, a plan, a purpose for success, for productivity, to be fruitful, not a plan of evil. He has given you an expected end." That means for the good, it's something that you hope for and long for. That's the kind of plan God has for you. But I want you to know, and we don't always hear about the devil, who also has a plan for us, and it is just the opposite of what God has for us. So this is going to be we're going to look at the two paths that is before us, the path of God and the path of Satan. John 10:10 says, Jesus tells us this about the devil in John 10:10. The only reason he comes, now I'm going to paraphrase these scriptures so the children can understand them, the these and the thous, and you know, sometimes that's hard for even some adults to understand. So I'm going to paraphrase these so that the children can understand it. The thief, who is Satan, the devil, your enemy, is only, he comes for one reason, and that is to steal from you, to kill you if he can, and to bring destruction to your life. That's his plan. At the same time, Jesus said, "I came that you can have life, a good life, a great life, life abundant," he calls it. So we see God's plan is all good. And we see that Satan's plan is all evil. There are two plans. There are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, It's called the kingdom of light. And then there is the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of darkness. So you see the opposite, the good, the evil, the light, the darkness. And we have two paths, God's path and Satan's path. The Word of God, which the young man just said is so important for us to read, helps you find God's path. The world, who Satan rules, will help you find Satan's path. So it's very important to know and read the Word of God. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read these scriptures instead of flipping because most of the children are not, you know, well versed in the Bible, and it would take a lot of time for us to go to each of these scriptures, so I'm going to read them to you. I've written them all down. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word," which is the Word of God, the Bible, "is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, if we are in the Word and we learn the Word of God, there will be a light shining on the path that we are to take. There are, as he also said, we're going to have a wimpy spirit man if we don't read the Word. Now, most of you have met my little granddaughter who's 8 years old, and I am finding a need to really be teaching her some things because the world is giving our children a message. Many messages, demonic messages, everything to pull them away from the things of God and righteousness. And at 8 years old, I can remember being 8 years old. I wasn't confronted with the things that she's being confronted with, that all of our children are being confronted with. And these are crucial times. And so sometimes the best way to do it, I just read it out of the Bible. I want to tell you what God says about that. So that when your teacher, we used to trust our teachers. Some of you still can, but there are many teachers who are not godly. And they are telling our children things that are not right. And they can be led astray. So it's our responsibility in the home as the parents to see to it that our children hear the truth from us so that they're not led astray by another voice. Okay, so there are two. I told my little granddaughter recently, I said, "Did you know that there is another Kaylee inside of you? It is your spirit, Kaylee." Now, all of you children here, I want to ask you, what would happen to you if we never gave you another bite to eat? What would happen? You would die. You have to have food. Your body has to have food. But guess what? Your spirit man needs food too. And so, in Matthew 4:4, it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." You're not going to make it if all you're eating is the food that's going to take care of your flesh body. But, it says, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And we have that word in our Bibles. That is the food. That is the food that our spirit must eat. Psalm 16:11 says, "God will show you," it says, "you, God, will show me the path." God wants to show you His path. "In your presence," in God's presence, "is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore." Isn't that what we want? That's really what we all want. But yet, when it comes down to making choices, sometimes we choose a path that is not going to bring us into God's presence or having His pleasures forevermore. Proverbs 13:15 says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." You know what a transgressor is? That's someone who doesn't obey God's word. And that path is hard. Why? Because you're going to have trouble, 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 trouble. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring destruction. He wants to kill you if he can. Okay, in Psalm 23:3, it says, He leadeth me," that's God, "in the paths of righteousness." And that path of righteousness is when we do right and we're being right with God. That is the path that He wants us to be on. So you see, there's a tug of war. How many of you have ever played tug of war? We used to play that when I was a kid. I never could win. I always fell down. But anyway, we're in a tug of war. We have Satan on one side and God on the other, and we are being tugged. And so God has given you children one commandment. That ought to be pretty easy. Wouldn't it be great if there's only one rule? Well, there's only one rule for you children. It's in Ephesians 6:1-3. And this is what the Word of God, remember, this is the food for our spirit man. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The next verse says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. You know what that promise is? That if you obey your parents, that life may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. See, that's really a two-part promise, isn't it? Things are going to go well, and you're going to live long upon the earth. So, if we obey our parents and we can live long upon the earth, then what happens? What can happen if we don't obey? Our life can be cut short. So, it's very important to obey your mother and daddy. In Matthew 15:4, it says, for God, Jesus is reminding them what God said. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. Do you know what it means to honor your father and mother? It means to obey them. When you obey your mother and father, you are honoring your mother and father. Now listen to this. And as you listen to these things, children and even grown-ups, because sometimes we don't know the consequences of things that we have done when we were young. And we come and we get saved and we go on from there. But we need to look back to things in our childhood that may be causing us problems now. It says, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now, we heard a lot of these scriptures today in the women's meeting. It was about parenting and children. So if you have cursed your mother or your father, then you need to repent right now so that that death curse, it can bring a curse of death upon your life. It may not mean you drop dead, but it might mean that everything in your life dies. You know, your finances die, your health dies, your jobs die, you just don't know how it's going to affect you. So if you have cursed your mother or father, children, I remember getting mad at my mom or daddy when they wouldn't let me do something I wanted to do. I didn't ever do it to their face, but I remember going to the bedroom and that's cursing your mother or father. And when I started studying these things, I had to repent, Lord, for every time I stuck my tongue out at my mother behind their backs, of course. But we should not do that. It can bring danger into our life. If you get upset with your mom and dad, you need to forgive them quickly. Forgive them quickly. The Bible says to forgive before the sun goes down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. That can give a foothold to the devil. And we don't want to give the devil any ground. Okay. So obedience will also bring wisdom. Disobedience brings foolishness. So here's another opposite. If you obey the Word of God and your parents, you will have wisdom. If you don't, then you're foolish. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Some children just don't want to be told what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is stubbornness. And it's foolish. So you don't want to be foolish, but you want to have wisdom. God wants you to be wise. If you want to be wise, obey. Obey your parents and obey the Word of God. Satan wants you to be rebellious. He wants you to be foolish. He wants you to have trouble. Ecclesiastes, see, if you obey, then you have safety. Things will go well. If you don't, then your life can be taken before its time. Ecclesiastes, I heard this last night, or sometime. Ecclesiastes, it was Brother Karna, 7:17 says, be not wicked over much, neither be thou foolish. See, there's that foolishness. Why should you die before your time? You know, some kids, children, young adults, teenagers have gone and done things that their parents said, do not do that, and they end up being killed. Do not swim in that river and they drown. Or do not get in the car with people who have been drinking and they do it and they get killed before their time. Yes, it can happen. So you don't want to die before your time. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Disobedience can be deadly. Romans 6:16 says, listen kids, whoever you obey, that's whose servant you are. And you are serving that one. If Satan is tempting you to do something that you know is wrong, and you do it anyway, you are serving Satan. Now, none of us set out to purposely serve Satan. But when we do that, we are serving Satan. And it is a form of worship. When we do the things he wants us to do, it's a form of worship. It's very important to not listen to the voice of the enemy. It says, whether it is sin unto death, that's what Satan wants to do, or obedience unto righteousness. When you obey God, then you are serving God, and you are worshiping him with your obedience. Deuteronomy 21:18-21. I'm going to read this. This is how God hates disobedience. Now, I read this to my children when they were little. Deuteronomy 21:18-21. Now listen to this. Thank goodness we're not in the Old Testament anymore, right? If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, stubborn and disobedient, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. That means like we would all go to the opening of Lake Hamilton, if we all lived here. We would bring that disobedient child out there, and all of us would gather around, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones till he dies. That's pretty serious. That's how much God hates disobedience. That's what happened back then. It really happened. That's what they did. It was a law. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. See, it's to put evil away from you. If there was one rebellious and they didn't take care of it, then that means there'd be more and more and more rebellious. Now, children, if you saw a friend of yours disobey and they were taken out and stung to death, next time mama said go do or daddy said go do, don't you believe you would obey quickly? Yeah. Thank goodness we're not living in that day. But that's just to show you how much God hates disobedience. He hates it because he knows it's going to bring destruction in your life. Okay. What are some things on Satan's path? Lying. Stealing. Do you know stealing can bring a curse on you? Especially if you steal from your parents. Disobeying your parents, that means doing what's wrong when they're not looking. Cursing, using foul language, that's something that's on Satan's path. Now, we don't think about it being on Satan's path, but it's on Satan's path. It's surely not on God's path. He wants us to speak good words, words of life and blessing and edification. That means good things. You say something to somebody that edifies them, that makes them feel worthy and loved and important. If you're being mean to somebody, you're going down Satan's path. You're serving Satan, because God wants us to be gentle and kind and loving. We don't think about that. You know, we don't think that when that one first thing that we do, that the, at the end of that path, and that's what I want all of you to begin to think about, is the end of the path. Not that first step, oh, come on, it's not going to hurt you. No. Yes, disobedience will hurt you. I just read you the scriptures that said so. So you have to think about every decision that you make. Is this God's path or is this Satan's path? That's the way you need to start thinking about everything that comes your way. Is this God's path or is this Satan's path? Because God's path is going to bring you good, peace, well-being, and Satan's path is going to bring you trouble, trouble, trouble. And remember, the way of the transgressor is hard. You're going to have a hard time. There are probably people here who can tell you about the hard time that disobedience brought to them. This is what Satan likes to do. He likes to make you think that bad things are really cool. Beware of that. He wants you to think that bad things are really cool. How does he do that? Well, he doesn't just come right out with a bad thing so that you go, no. No, it's subtle. It's real sneaky. He's very sneaky. So he will bring a book, a popular book, a book that everybody wants to read. But what is the book about? Remember the Harry Potter books?
Yep.
Witchcraft. Almost all of our children in America have been introduced to witchcraft through those Harry Potter books. Yet, they were a fire across America and the world. The whole world was into Harry Potter books. They learned actual hexes, curses, spells.
Yep.
You know, I heard one time on the radio that there was a girl who was expelled from school. And the guys that were talking about this on the radio were just laughing it up because this girl had been expelled for practicing witchcraft at school. And one guy said, well, what do you think about that? And the other guy said, well, I think they've been watching too much Bewitched. See, we had in our generation, I Dream a Genie.
Yep.
You know, the little bottle that had smoke coming out of it. Now comes a genie. And she had magic. And many other shows like it. And see, magic, if you look up, I did a word study on deception and witchcraft and, I've done so many word studies, but one of them has to do with magic. Magic is deception. We think there's nothing wrong with it, but there is. And there are different levels of magic. But anyway, this girl had actually put a witchcraft curse on a teacher. And she told her friends about it. She learned it in a book from the library at school. And she did not like this teacher, and so she decided to put a curse on this teacher. And she bragged about it to her friends, and her friends didn't think anything of it because they didn't think that it was real. But witchcraft is real. The powers of darkness are real. They are not more powerful than the power of God, but sometimes they make the world think that they are because we haven't really tapped into the power of God. We haven't learned to use the authority and the power that Jesus Christ has given us over the enemy. He's given us power over all, not a little power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. And we should not be afraid to exercise that authority when we need to. So she put a curse on this teacher. And the class started, and the teacher fell deathly ill. They had to call an ambulance. So these girls went to their principal and told the principal that their friend had put a curse on this teacher. So the principal called the girl in and said, is this true? And she said, yes, it is. That's what I did. I put a curse on her. I don't like her, and I cursed her. And it happened. What she cursed the woman with happened. So they were making big fun of this principal for expelling this girl for doing witchcraft, which is, the world is really good at. The world will mock anyone who tries to do the right thing and make you feel like an idiot. That's what Satan really wants you, to look ridiculous and make you feel ridiculous. And listen, when you start to use the power of God, Satan will do that to you too. When I first started learning to take dominion in certain things, and of course, you know, you don't know, but the Word says, so if it's in the Word, I believe it, and so I'm not just a hearer, I'm a doer as well, so I start doing it, and the devil is saying, do you know how ridiculous you look? You better hope nobody hears you. They're going to lock you up. I'm serious. That's what the enemy will do to you. You have to learn to deafen your ears to his voice. Because if you listen to him, you won't ever do anything for God. He'll say, who do you think you are? Oh, look at you. He'll mock you. And I mean, I've heard it all. Just get ready. When you start to step out on the things of God, Satan is going to ridicule you and try to make you stop. That's the whole plan. He wants to kill the power of God in you. Okay? So, witchcraft is real, and we're seeing more and more of it. A new surge of movies and books and music and games and clothing and all these things that are glorifying the kingdom of darkness. Now, we walked into a store the other day, and I was going to look for some little T-shirts for Kaylee, and oh, it was so cute, so sparkly and everything, and I looked back, is that a skull? Oh my goodness, a skull and crossbones on a child's apparel. Who would do that? That is demonic. That is a symbol of death. You're going to wear that? And when you wear things like that, kiddos, let me tell you something. It draws whatever it is. When I bought school supplies for her, or somebody else bought school supplies, but she had, and sometimes it's just pretty and colorful and everything, but then there's things on there that you didn't see when you first looked at it. And she brought it to my attention. Grammy, what does this mean? Well, it was a peace sign. So I explained to her. I thought, oh, yuck, I didn't know that was on there. I said, you know what? That is a sign of rebellion. It's a sign of rebellion. Back when I was a young girl, they had these hippies. They broke all the rules, God's and man's. Yes. They didn't care. It was rebellion. I mean, they'd paint a big one on the side of their van and wear flowers in their hair. Nothing wrong with flowers in your hair. Call them flower children. Love child, you know. No, it is out and out rebellion. And it's still going on. Still going on. We have to be careful about things like that. He'll want you to play his games and all these Twilight movies that came out about vampires. Well, I want to tell you something. There are people who drink blood. See, we kids think that these things, and some parents don't even know. Oh, we watched movies like that. Yeah, but it's getting worse. Let me tell you, it's getting worse. I want to read to you. This is what I do with my granddaughter. You know how they think this is cool? Well, let me tell you what God says about it. Leviticus 17, 10 through 14. I want you to know, because, see, when you partake of these things, you're getting on a path. I want you to remember these two paths. The path of God and the path of Satan. Leviticus 17, 10 through 14. Y'all know what vampires do, right? They suck your blood. It says, and whatsoever man there is of the house of Israel. Now that's what the believers were called back then. Those were God's people. Yeah. Or the strangers that sojourn among you, who eateth any manner of blood, I, this is God, will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. Absolutely. That's pretty serious. It's not so cool. It's not, and you know what they do? They wrap it around a love story so that you don't really pay attention to the, the vampire stuff, the demonic stuff. They're gonna cover it over. They're gonna put some icing on it. It's a good love story to suck you in. That's how Satan works. He's slick. He's gonna grease it up and make you think it's okay. In verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Therefore, I say unto the children of Israel, that's us, the believers, no soul of you shall eat blood or drink blood. Neither shall any stranger who sojourns among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there is of the children of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among you, who hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For the life of all flesh, the blood of it, for the life thereof. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say, I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now that's what God thinks about vampires. Or anybody who eats blood or drinks the blood. Do you know there are a lot of clubs, fraternities, and different things that will mix blood and have the people drink it. That's really big in witchcraft and satanic churches. So that's all on the path of destruction. God says don't do it. Don't even be a partaker of things that show it or pretend it. You have to be careful with these things, because that's how Satan wants to get a hold in your life. Now, he also, as I said, likes to make bad things seem good and good things seem bad. That's perverseness, perversity. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those who do that. Woe is not a good thing. He has everything all backwards. That's what Satan does. He likes to twist things. He likes to make a lie seem like the truth. He likes to make the bad things seem good. He likes to make the things from the kingdom of darkness seem okay. When I was a young girl, it was unheard of, and I am not condemning anybody, but it was unheard of for a decent, upstanding person to have a tattoo. It was bikers, the rebellious ones, the Hell's Angels, those kind, and sailors, military, men who go into the military. Now, it has been made fashionable to tattoo your body. Well, let's see what the Word says about it. This is how God feels about it. Leviticus 19, verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now, you know, that was one of the ways they used to mourn. They would inflict pain upon themselves. They would cut themselves to release their grief. But that's not the only cutting it talks about. It says, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. I am the Lord. He doesn't tell us why. He doesn't need to. He's God. When God says don't do it, then you don't do it. You know what I've learned as I've studied the Bible? I used to wonder about the circumcision. You know, God commanded them to be circumcised. That involved a cutting in the flesh, which it indicated a covenant between God and man. So when you allow anyone to cut your skin, you are forming, you don't know it, but you are forming a blood covenant with that person. And there can be spiritual transfers in that blood covenant. That's what you don't know. But I'm telling y'all now, it doesn't matter what anybody says about tattooing, but what does God say? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to please God? Do we want to please God? Do we want things to go well for us? Then we must obey what God says. And that's any kind of breaking the flesh. Piercing. Now, the thing with the piercing, that was an indication where the circumcision was a blood covenant between God and man. The piercing was an indication of voluntary slavery.
That's right.
Voluntary slavery. People who had slaves, 7 years, or servants, after 7 years, God commanded them to be set free. But if they had took a wife and had children on that property of whoever owned them, and they wanted to stay with their family, then they would back up against the door, and he would drive a hole in their ear, and that told everybody, I am here by my own accord. Nobody's forcing me to be a slave. I'm here because I want to be. And sometimes in deliverance, we have to ask them to take off their earrings because sometimes they may be a slave to something that they can't get free from and don't have any idea that this is connected. Okay? It's serious. Okay? So, another thing, okay, so see, tattooing has become fashionable. I mean, now people have to wear next to nothing to show off all their tattoos. I mean, they're cut down to here, up to here, and nothing there, and woo! I mean, they spend a lot of money on those tattoos, and they want people to see. It would be like me wearing all the pictures in my house around. See what I got? But it is, they don't know it, but it is a form of rebellion because God said don't. Well, I'm going to go get one. And guess what? They become addicted. Then they have to get another one. And another one. And another one. Just like piercings. It really, I can't soften it. It is a form of self-hatred. Because you're inflicting pain to your body voluntarily. You're paying money for someone to inflict pain. It's not a good thing. They're selling an image. Look at the beer commercials. Boy, they just make it look so... Oh, and all these fashionable liquors. They are selling an image, and it's not God's. The clothing. I'll quote Jerry. Looks like people are shopping at Fredericks of Hollywood. Even in churches you go and people are so exposed that it's mind-boggling. It's just, you know, you got to kind of look at the ceiling the whole time you're there. Because people are just wearing their wares. 1 Timothy 2:9 says that we are to wear modest apparel becoming to godliness. You know, we're not to judge a book by its cover. But sometimes the cover tells what's in the book. That's true. And they want you to get involved in this witchcraft. I'll tell you, I was called to the house of a young girl. Well, she was 17 in high school. She had been out of the country. She came home, invited her best friend over to spend the night. And they're laying there, and all of a sudden, the girl said, there was a little bit of light coming through the door, And she told her friend, they were in a double bed, and she said, put your arms down. And the girl said, what are you talking about? Your arms are up. Put your arms down. And she said, my arms are not up. They're under the covers. So the girl went to swat this thing, and it moved and jumped over to the side of the bed. Well, it was a demon right in her bedroom. We're going to start seeing more of that. And when you involve yourself in these demonic things, it opens the doors for that. It invites them to you. Well, this is a Christian girl. She sings on the praise and worship team, you know. And her mother, they were raised Baptist. The dad was Catholic. Now the girls are going to a non-denominational church. And they're into the praise and worship and loving the Lord and have a purpose. And they know they have a calling on their life, but when they go to the movies, they're going to see Twilight and Paranormal, and they're entertaining themselves with entertainment from the kingdom of darkness. And she was getting ready to go out one night with her friends, and she had set her little iPod to play these songs, and she didn't tell anybody about the demon in her bedroom because she kind of, it scared her. She put her head under the covers. And I said, you're in good company. Because Dr. Null, who was here, the first time he saw a demonic manifestation, he put his head under the covers. When he taught that, he said, oh, a great, mighty man of God that I am, I put my head under the covers. Now listen, children, when things like this come, this is what you do. What the Lord said to Dr. Null was, you know you can bind that thing. And he said, I can? So he lowers, and what it was, it wasn't a real tarantula. It was a demonic vision. And this big old spider had come in his room and taken up his whole room and was just looking at him. And so he lowers just below his eyes and he said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And he said when he said that, he saw these huge angels carrying these huge chains, and they wrapped it around that thing and off it went. That's the kind of power you have. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to get out of here. And that's what I told that girl. I said, next time, don't hide from it. In the name of Jesus, be gone. And it will go. And don't you ever come back. Okay? That's what you do with those things. That's what we're going to have to start doing. We're going to start seeing demon manifestations right in churches. Yes, and they're not going to know what in the world to do. They're all going to be running out of the church screaming because they don't know what to do when these demons manifest. But we're going to have to know what to do when those times come because they're coming. It's intensifying. The demonic is intensifying, but so is the power of God in us. That's where it's in us. We are vessels of the power of God. But if we don't release it, no power.
That's right.
We're going to have to release it. We're going to have to open our mouths and be bold enough to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of here. That's what we're going to have to do. So children, you can do that. If anybody ever comes towards you to hurt you or anything, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Now, Frank Marzullo Senior told a story about that. A man came and sat on the back with murder in his eyes. And he had a booming voice, but he was a little bitty guy. He was skinny, tiny. And here come this guy. He was huge. And he could tell that man was coming with murder. And he said, the blood of Jesus between me and you. And it was like he hit a plexiglass wall and fell on the floor and couldn't get up. That's the power of God. Okay. So, he'll want you to get involved in this witchcraft because he wants a door in your life. Nothing makes Satan happier than to get into a Christian's life. And if he can draw you away from God, great victory. So, what are these things of witchcraft? Anytime you consult the powers of darkness, palm readers, fortune tellers, horoscopes, handwriting analysis, Ouija boards, go into a fortune teller, a mind reader, a psychic. All the, you know, if you ever watch late night TV, they are just seducing people left and right to call these psychics. I can tell you about your love life. And, you know, just, and people are just so gullible because they don't know. Nobody's ever told them. Well, you can't say that anymore because I'm telling you now. Hypnotism, trances, any supernatural power not from God. In Deuteronomy 18:9-12, he says that anybody who does these things is an abomination to God. You don't want to be an abomination to God. Those things are on the path of Satan. The path of Satan. They're in the video games. Witchcraft are in video games. They are. It's all over the place. Demonic power through karate, yoga, all these Eastern world things that are coming into the United States, all the Hindu things coming into the United States. You know, God said when you pass through those lands, do not partake of their practices. And that's true for us today too. Any behavior that dishonors your temple, that's your body. Many people will say, it's my body and I'll do with it what I want. Well, see, they don't know the Word of God. Because 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says what? Don't you know that your body is the temple, the house of the Holy Ghost in you that is from God? And ye are not your own. You're not your own. I hate to tell you, you're not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. See, he's talking about those two people, in your flesh body and in your spirit. They both belong to God. And that price was the life of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you. So your body is not your own. 1 Corinthians, this is strong language right here. 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile, that means dishonor, spoil or corrupt, hurt or be destructive with the temple of God, him, the person who destroys his temple, him shall God destroy. That's pretty strong language. When you do things, when you take things into your body that are destructive, drugs, alcohol, even overeating, there are all manner of ways that we destroy our bodies. And then we end up with a deadly disease. And then we wonder why. Why are we sick? We have to think about these things. What have I done that brought destruction in my body? God doesn't want to destroy you. The devil is the one who wants to destroy you. But this is saying if you do it, you're doing it to yourself. But destruction will come. What are some destructive behaviors? Things that steal your good life to kill you, destroy you, and your future. Well, those destructive behaviors are anything God tells you not to do. That's the destructive behavior. Now, I'm not saying this to convict anybody, but you know what? If you didn't know these things and you see the results of it happening in your life, and we're thinking, oh no, I've already done that. Well, what is the answer? Repent. Repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're no longer a capital S sinner? That sin that came on us through Adam is broken. But the little sins, we still do. Now, if we confess those sins, he forgives us and he cleanses us, not from sin. He forgives us the sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The unrighteousness that came on us when we sin. See, we have a robe of righteousness. When we sin, unrighteousness. Now, we've got to confess that sin, and then the unrighteousness is cleansed from us. Isn't that easy? Let's do it. Okay. So many things that we do. Sometimes we do destructive things to punish ourselves because we feel we hate ourselves for things that we've done. That's what Satan does to you. He comes to condemn. God wants to convict you so he can forgive you, so he can cleanse you, so you can have a good life. Okay? Some people cut themselves. Some people starve themselves. Some people kill themselves. So we're talking about two plans. We're talking about two kingdoms. We're talking about two paths. Okay, here's another area with your bodies. Girls, I want you to know, listen to me, girls, all girls, your body belongs first to God. Remember, Jesus bought it. Secondly, it belongs to whoever's going to be your husband. Your husband. Your husband. Not a cute guy. Not somebody that's paying a lot of attention to you. No, they don't own your body. No, it belongs to God first and then your husband. So you have to make sure that nobody trespasses on your body. Nobody has a right to touch you where they shouldn't touch you. Boys, same thing. First, your body belongs to God, and then your body belongs to your wife. Not just any old girl.
That's right.
No. So what do we do about that? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us. I'm going to tell you what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, the church at Corinth had this problem too, and they wrote Paul asking him about it, and this was his answer. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote unto me, and right up above it is talking about fornication. That means any kind of illegal sex. Any kind. Any kind. Touching. Anything the Bible says not to do and you do it. That's what he's talking about. That's what fornication is. Illegal sex. Sexual acts. Touching inappropriately. He says, now concerning the things about which you wrote unto me, it is not good, or it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Don't touch them, guys. Now I'm not talking about just poking them and saying, hey, how you doing? No, that word touch means fastening yourself to. That means hanging on each other, full body contact, the kind of contact that starts a fire. That's the kind of touch he's talking about. So nevertheless, to avoid that, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. So see, your body belongs to your husband, if you're a girl, as you get older. Right now, it belongs to the Lord. When you get married, it belongs to your husband. See? That way, I heard an illustration one time of a youth, someone that worked with the youth. Someone came in with a tray of cookies. Most of them had been nibbled on, bitten, broken. There were one or two that were perfect. And they went around to all the people. And you know, nobody took the cookies that had been nibbled on. Nobody wants something that's already been nibbled on. You want it all for yourself. And you want it to be clean. See, if somebody else ate off of it, you don't know who ate off of it. It's germy. Yeah, you don't want that. God wants us to keep ourselves pure. God is all about purity. And he wants us to keep ourselves pure. So, girls, don't let people touch you. And boys, don't let people touch you. And don't you be touching others. That way, you keep yourselves. But see, Satan has made it fashionable to just go with anybody. Just do anything you want to with anybody. It's okay. Won't hurt anything. It's even fashionable now for young girls to have babies without husbands. Not good. That is outside the marriage covenant. I'm not condemning anybody. If that's happened to you, repent, confess, and don't do that anymore. So we're choosing between two plans, two kingdoms, and two paths. I'm going to read in Deuteronomy 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19, because this is what God says. And I've basically done that for y'all. I could go on all night with other things, but I think you get the drift. Do y'all get the drift, kids? Okay. Deuteronomy 30:19. This is what God said. In verse 15, he has given all the laws, and he says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." In verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," God says, "choose life." That's what I want to say to you, children. Choose life. The devil will come to you with death and cursing, but God is hoping you will choose life. He's encouraging you to choose life, that both you and your seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life in the length of thy days. Amen? So every decision you make, every decision, no decision is too small for you to ask yourself, is this going to take me down the path of Satan, death, cursing, or is it going to take me down the path of God and life and good and blessing? You choose. You choose. So, if you've already done some of these things, we're going to repent. If you heard any of these things that you have done, then we are going to repent. And parents, you know what the Lord said to me not too long ago? It was shocking, although I sort of already knew it. He just put the exclamation point to it. The things that we did in secret, our children are living out loud for the world to see. Did it not say in the Word that those things that are done in secret will be brought to the light? And we thought, oh, what we did in secret, nobody knew about it, and we didn't get busted. But, we are busted. Our children now are doing the very same things we did, but not in secret. Right out of the open. Right out in the open. But you can break that cycle by repenting. Go back and think about all the things you did when you were a kid. All those little things that you thought nobody knew about that didn't matter. Mike and I have had some interesting conversations. We have. Because now we're seeing the truth of that. Of course, you know, now we're saved and we're on the path of righteousness. But hey, they're still reaping. That's a law. You will reap what you sow. Now, when you get saved, you are pardoned from some of those things. But not all of them. So that's why it's important to repent. So, is everybody awake? Y'all ready to repent? Yeah. Children, did y'all hear anything that y'all have done? Have you cursed your mom and daddy? Have you been disobedient? You know what? We all have. We all have. I'm not just coming down on you because I'm a child of God. I'm a children. And I disobey too. And I have had to repent, repent, repent. Okay, so let's just repent. Father, forgive me for being rebellious. Forgive me for cursing my mother or father. Forgive me for dishonoring my body with destructive behaviors. Forgive me for eating or drinking blood. Now, you know, that sounds gross, doesn't it? But the Germans, and I'm not picking on anybody, and there may be others, but I know that the Germans eat blood pudding. They eat blood soup, blood sausage. The Scots do too. There's no telling. Blood boudin. Who? Norwegians? Okay, see, it's not. It's a worldwide problem. Okay, so forgive me for eating or drinking blood. Forgive me for participating in witchcraft. And if you've been disobedient, if you've been rebellious, you've been in witchcraft. Forgive me for serving Satan in disobedience. And I fall out of agreement with him right now. Forgive me for choosing Satan's path. I want to be on your path, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to stay on your path. Okay. He has forgiven you. Clean slate. He's cleaned you from the unrighteousness of those things that we've talked about. So now I want to do some binding and loosing, some casting out, and some blessing. How about that? One of the things I wanted to bring up about alcohol and drugs, those destructive, he who destroys the temple, him will I destroy, says God. That God showed me that the age you started drinking or smoking pot or doing drugs or smoking or whatever your destructive behavior was can cause arrested development. Now, my son was arrested at 24 years old for pot. I just couldn't even believe it. I thought, you know, Lord, he's a man. And God said, not really. His chronological age is that of a man, but emotionally and mentally, he is stunted. His development was arrested socially, mentally, and spiritually, at the age he started smoking pot. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, that is so... He acts just like a 14-year-old. That's when he started smoking pot. So we all may have forms of arrested development, not only from drugs, but if you were molested, if you suffered some kind of trauma. There's all kinds of things that could cause arrested development. And so we're going to come against that arrested development tonight. Okay, so right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you I was going to do this. Y'all don't have to repeat. Just participate. Every once in a while, take a deep breath and just blow out. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that works in the children of disobedience. I bind you in the name of Jesus from all the children in this room and even the adults. And I loose the spirit of God right now. I loose upon you the spirit of God. I bind and break the power of death and destruction. All spirits of death and destruction go in Jesus' name. I break that curse of death that came on all of us through Adam. I break that curse of death now. I bind it. I break its power. And I command it to go. Death, go. Get out. Destruction, you go. In the name of Jesus. And I loose upon you the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I bind the spirit of rejection. All spirits of rejection go. Self-rejection. Rejection by man, rejection by preachers, rejection by parents, siblings, friends, whoever. I bind and break the power of rejection off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. Rejection even by God, if you have felt rejected by God. I break that power now of rejection in Jesus' name. And I loose upon you the spirit of adoption. Receive the spirit of adoption right now, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I bind and break the power of rebellion. All rebellion, I command you to go. I break your power off God's people. Rebellion, go in the name of Jesus. And I loose upon you obedience, to obey the word of God, to obey your parents, to obey God. I come against all unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits that come in when you're disobedient, when you're rebellious, an unclean spirit comes in. I bind you and break your power. All unclean spirits, go now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and blow out. All unclean spirits, you go in Jesus' name. And I loose upon you clean hearts and right spirits. I bind the lying spirit right now. All lying spirits. Believing the lie. Telling lies. Telling yourself a lie and believing the lie. Deception. I bind all spirits of lying and deception. You go in Jesus' name. And I loose upon you the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. I bind and break the power of the profane spirit. Profane spirits. Go in the name of Jesus. All profane spirits, unholy spirits, go in the name of Jesus. And I loose upon you the Holy Spirit of God. I loose upon you. Receive the Holy Spirit of God. I bind all spirits of perversity. Go in the name of Jesus. Twisting the truth. Deception. All perverse spirits. Sexual perversions. Go in the name of Jesus. All perverse spirits in religion wanting to twist the truth, believing the lie, believing deception, being deceived, all perverse spirits, molestation, rape, all sexual perverse spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Lust, go in the name of Jesus. All lust spirits, you go. And I loose upon you purity, purity from God. I come against that arrested development right now. If you would, this is the way God instructed me to pray for my son. Put your hands on your head. Now we bind and break arrested to say it. I bind and break all arrested development that came into me through drug use, alcohol, any traumatic thing that happened to me, in the name of Jesus. And I speak a supernatural maturity to my mind to catch up with the age that I am. Now, Lord, we're asking for a miracle right now in the minds of all of us. Arrested development, you go. I bind you and break your power. I command the minds to be healed. All confusion, go. Confusion, mental problems, memory problems, all problems in the mind, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. All the electrical impulses to meet and work properly. I loose upon you the mind of Christ that you received from Christ Jesus in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus doesn't have Alzheimer's. He doesn't have mental problems. You didn't. So when you were saved, you received the mind of Christ. If you have problems in your mind, do that. Lord, today I activate the mind of Christ. It's in my spirit, man. Okay. I bind the kingdom of darkness. I bind the kingdom of darkness and I break its power in your life. In every way that the kingdom of darkness has come into you, I bind it and command it to go now. I break its power off of your life and I loose upon you the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. I release the kingdom of God into you in Jesus' name. Lord, right now I ask that you would give us keen discernment in these days to discern good and evil. To separate the holy from the profane, death from life, good from evil, the path of God from the path of Satan. Keen discernment. I just ask you to give us all keen discernment. Now, I assign mighty angels to stand around each one shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrate. I give leave to the unholy angel that was appointed to all of you at birth. I give leave to that unholy angel right now in Jesus' name that was to guide you off of the path of God. I give leave to the familiar spirits that followed you down from your bloodline. All the familiar spirits that followed you down from your mother's bloodline, I give them leave in Jesus' name. I give leave to those familiar spirits that followed you down from your father's bloodline. You know, sometimes we wonder why certain things happen to us. You know, I hear women all the time, why do I keep attracting these guys, these, you know? Well, because there are familiar spirits at work. I did a teaching one time called Molestation, Why Me? You know, there are familiar spirits. If your great grandmother was raped, then there is a familiar spirit of rape that is on you, and it attracts rapists. It attracts molesters. So I give leave to all of those familiar spirits. Every tragedy that happened in your bloodline, I give leave to those familiar spirits right now. I forbid them to operate in your life anymore. In Jesus' name. I bind and break the power of the curse of the firstborn. How many firstborn do we have here? Okay. I break the curse of the firstborn right now in the name of Jesus. God said every male or every firstborn that openeth the womb is who? Mine, he said. So who do you think Satan really wants? He's after that firstborn. So I break that curse off of you right now in Jesus' name, and I replace it with the blessings of God, the blessings of God. And go home and do that to your children. You don't have to do it right over them when they're... I do those kind of things when they're asleep. If I see something and I don't like it, when sleep comes, in there, those demons are not hard of hearing. You can whisper it. You can come against it. I'm going to tell you, the first time I ever did that, my daughter, I was in a terrible depression when I carried my daughter. And she was born with a heaviness, weeping, just melancholy. You know, I never could understand why she was so sad. Of course, I'd been healed. But she hadn't. Those spirits that were in me transferred to her in my womb and were born on her. Now, I got healed and delivered, but she hadn't. Those things were on her, those familiar spirits of oppression, depression, sorrow, sadness, grief, weeping, all of those things. And this was back in, let's see, she was five, so it was 1986. I heard I was listening to Christian radio, and this man was explaining how spirits can be transferred to our children while they're in the womb. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. You know, he said, for instance, if the mother's depressed, oh, that's me. Isn't God good? He knew I was seeking, and on a radio, he speaks to me. Let's say the mother was depressed. Well, all of those spirits of oppression and depression and grief and sorrow and weeping go into that child and follow it. It's a death. You know, depression is death. Depression is meant to kill you. It's from the devil. And I heard Angie say today, you know, here I was born again, spirit-filled. Hey, who can be depressed? You know, I found out that born-again, spirit-filled Christians can suffer depression. You know, God is no respecter of persons. Neither is the devil. He doesn't care. He'll take whoever he can get. And if we don't know, it comes. And we don't know what to do with it. But thank God for Lake Hamilton that can teach us what to do with those things. We don't have to have those things. Okay, so the guy said, well, now if there's someone out there listening, what should they do? I said, yeah. Well, he said, when your child goes to sleep, you go to the doorway. They don't have to hear you. You're not talking to the child anyway. You're talking to the demon in them. They're very in tune. They don't sleep. The spirit never sleeps. Okay, so I went to her bedroom door and I said, you spirit of depression, I bind you, I break your power, and I command you to get out of my child. Every spirit of oppression, depression, I just read them off. Go in the name of Jesus. I want you to know she never cried again. She got happy. In fact, we had devotions the next morning, and she wanted to receive Jesus as our Savior. And that was the end of it. So, you know, it's available. This power is real. We've just not, you know, the church has basically kind of ignored this ministry of Jesus. Okay. Oh, let's see, where was I? Okay, broke the curse of the firstborn. I call down fire right now from heaven to destroy the altar that Satan has erected for every one of us. I call down fire from heaven to destroy that altar that Satan has erected for our lives. In Jesus' name. Now, I speak a reversal of all damage caused by any of these curses that came upon us. I speak a reversal right now of damage, whether it be in your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, your emotions. I speak healing right now to your body in the name of Jesus. You know what God told me? New Year's, last year. I have I lead two Bible studies in the town where my mother lives. And he, one morning when I woke up and was just thinking on God, he said, "You know what? I want my people healed." And I thought, "Well, I know." He said, "But you know, all those ladies in your Bible study are taking prescription medicine for one ailment or another. And I want my people healed." So I told him what he said, and now we pray for healing before we do anything else. Who has a need? Let's pray for that. Because all that medicine can do is help you tolerate it. And we're not supposed to tolerate anything. And if it doesn't work the first time, well, you just keep doing it. Kind of like chipping away at a tree stump. You know, you just got to keep chipping away at it. One day it's gone. Don't lose heart. I bind all backlash and retaliation that would come against any of us for the message and for the deliverance that they've received. I bind it and break its power now in the name of Jesus. I cover each one and seal the closed doors with the blood of Jesus right now. And I restore to you authority over your body. Let me tell you what I mean. When you allow someone to violate your body, you have given over your authority, because then you have a soul tie with that person. And I describe a soul tie like this. If you've ever seen a man fish, they throw that hook out there, and that string is, you can see through it. When it gets in the water, you can't even see the string. Can't see a soul tie. Not in the natural realm. But when you hook that fish, before you hook the fish has freedom. But when you hook that fish no longer has authority over its life. You can keep it on the hook and just let it swim around. Or you can jerk it this way or jerk it that way, jerk it this way. Pull it in, let it out. That's how soul ties work. And there is a spiritual tie between people, when, especially in sex and in touch. When you touch inappropriately, there can be a soul tie there. And so you kind of lose authority over your own body. You know, that seducing spirit will give you a tug. It's like a charmer. They just lure you in. And the whole time you're going, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this." Guess what? Because you've lost authority. So I restore to you tonight your authority over your body. I restore to you the right to say no and mean it. And I break the soul ties. Y'all need to say this. I break the soul ties with every person I sinned with. I send back their soul and spirit to them. And I call back my soul and spirit to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, restore my soul. And restore my mind. In Jesus' name. Because see, whenever you have relations with other people, or it could even just be someone that you hate, you have a soul tie with that person. So then your mind, they have a part of your soul. That's why we have so many confused, crazy people in the world today. Their souls are fragmented, and their minds are fragmented. And so we've called it back, and we've asked the Lord to restore our soul and restore our minds. And Lord, nobody else but you can do that. And we give you thanks for that. We thank you for everything that has happened tonight. We thank you for the ministry of deliverance and healing and restoration and redemption and forgiveness. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And Lord, we want to live for you. We want to bring you glory in the earth. We want to establish your kingdom here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.